Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
You say tomato, I say tomato. You say potato, I say potato. Potato, tomato, potato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. Welcome to the Lucid Life Vibes podcast. And no, I will not sing that for you. Do you know that song? Do you know that catchy little tune? And no, I'm not going to karaoke with you. Absolutely not. Okay, did you see what I did? I opened the podcast with a opting out, a double opt out. I told you no. I said, no, I'm not going to sing that for you. And no, I'm not going to karaoke with you. Now, maybe you don't want to karaoke either. I don't know. Maybe you're like me and you're like, I'm not going to sing. Or maybe you're like, I'll sing, but I'm not dancing and you can't make me. The lyrics, you say tomato, I say tomato. You say potato, I say potato, right? Sometimes we say it in different ways. That was originally a Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. Oh yeah, I love old movies. Back in 1937. Oh yeah. That golden oldies. It was actually about the difference between how an American says something and somebody, you know, the British, right? The Americans versus the British. And so there is that kind of, I say it this way, I do it that way, right? You say it that way. I mess up the words all the time. I think the words dumb everything down. And we've been talking about telepathy, which I know is the highest form of communication, but maybe you don't believe that. Maybe that's not your truth, or you haven't discovered that yet for yourself. Because here's the thing, it's not a one size fits all. We're all having a different human experience. There's the me, myself, and I. And we say things the way we say things. Don't even get me started about the spelling, because it's ridiculous. The rules of English and then all the words that break the rules. Yeah, that has my head spinning. It's like, what the what? It doesn't even make any sense. And I hear that English is one of the most difficult languages. So I tried to learn French in high school, and I was a ballet dancer, so I thought it would be perfect because there was a lot of, you know, ballet words that were rooted in the French vocabulary. And really, the only thing I remember is café, right? And I have my iced coffee. I hope you have a coffee. I saved a seat for you. We've been talking about telepathy. We've been talking about ESP, extrasensory perception. We've been talking about how we're in this great awakening, meaning waking up to there being more to the me, myself, and I, right? The human experience, like there's more to you, more to me. Our personal truth, waking up to that personal truth of who we are, but also, you know, what's happening on planet Earth. And everybody has their own perspective, right? Some people are very closed-minded. Others are open, right? And I think some people have more of like blinders on. It's more focused. And so, you know, there's all the shades of whatever color. I don't think things are so black and white. There's so many different shades of gray, of blue, all the colors, all the hues, all the spectrum. And we're all different. We all perceive and receive in different ways. For me, you know, the head, the mind, the mental, then there's the emotional, and then the physical, the three pillars of the human experience. Mental, emotional, and physical. We are all experiencing something different. And it's interesting because I'm very aware that some of us are more mental, some are more physical, right? Some are more emotional. That doesn't mean we're not the others, because they're the three pillars to the human experience. Now, some people could be experiencing different things, right? Along the spectrum in life, right? What's going on with the mind, the emotions, the physical. We talked about non-verbal humans and those physical challenges, but how brilliant the mind is, right? And so I believe there's just so much we don't know about the human experience because of this closed-minded, but also this idea of suppressing, hiding things. And really, the larger picture is this more general approach and labeling of things, putting things into boxes. And I just don't think that serves us anymore at all, just humanity in general, right? And so we're going to use different words. We're going to say it in different ways, potato, potato, tomato, tomato, right? Maybe you don't even like potatoes or tomatoes. I love potatoes. Actually, I love potatoes and tomatoes. Does that separate you from others because they don't say things the way that you say things, right? Is there judgment on that? Or is there open, you know? So then now for me, it's more of moving into emotion, the heart space, right? Are you open? Are you closed? Is there self-love that overflows? You know, is there openness for yourself? Is there love for yourself? Is there freedom for yourself? And then you extend it to others? Or is it closed off and there are certain beliefs? And that's the way that it is. And it's more autopilot. And so I've been asking this really powerful question about your truth versus your beliefs. And sometimes it can feel like a battlefield, right? Like your truths are calling forward your beliefs, maybe calling out, right? Let's say what it is, maybe calling it out, shining some light up in there, right? Enlightenment, shining light. So throwing shade, creating shadows, creating darkness, but enlightenment, turning the light on, epiphany, enlightenment, aha. Oh, something new, a new discovery. And so there's different perspectives, right? There's different mindsets. There's different attitudes, right? Positive, negative. We all have a different positive, negative, right? What is that saying? Misery loves company. Wah, wah, right? The Broken Heart Club. I mean, do we go through stuff as human? Absolutely. As humans, yeah, there's unwanted things. Yes, absolutely. There's healing, right? There's heartbreak, all of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. We can feel oppressed. We can feel sad. We can feel the unwanted, right? But we don't have to be depressed, right? The sun will rise again. A new day will come. There's different perspectives. Again, we also talked about, is the glass half full or half empty? Well, are you filling it? Are you drinking it? What's happening with the cup? What's the action? What's the intention? What's the desire, need, want, right? Like, what's happening? And so if you feel like you need more in the cup, you fill the cup. If you don't like what's in the cup, empty the cup, put something in it that you like, fulfillment, filling it up. But are you going to allow yourself to fill the cup with what you want? Or are you going to force the unwanted on yourself? And so we can talk about, I could go on and on with this. I could get stuck on a loop about this. I have really been feeling this holiday season. I mean, we're in the holidays. This is a timeless podcast whenever you're listening, but you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. So we had a Halloween. there was the Canadian Thanksgiving as well that has already happened. Now, I'm in the United States of America. And so it's interesting when we think about holidays and seasons and different times of the year. You know, in Australia, they're having a sunny summer Christmas, while, you know, in the United States of America, we're having more of that winter wonderland, cool, wintry Christmas, depending on where you live, of course. And so seasonal holidays, all that, it really depends on where you live. And then also, I think your family line, your family traditions or religion, which could also be region, like where you live. And so it's interesting to me what happens during the holidays. And a lot of people also will refer to this time of the year as like the cold or flu season, right? Now that could be the seasonal shift, the change in the weather, absolutely. But is there something around the holidays and people getting sick? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe there's a connection there. Because the holidays can bring up some really unwanted emotions for people, right? They're like dreading the calendar, or some people only live by the calendar, right? Like you only hear from them on that day of the week or that day of the year. Like you never hear of 365 days in the year and you only hear from them on that one day, right? When there's all these other days on the calendar. So we all live life in a different way. We all have different lifestyles. And when there has been this, you know, pitting people against each other, right? Like social media, the news, right? All that, blah, blah, blah. The politics, the dividing, the left, the right, the blue, the red, the this, the that, the drawing the line in the sand, the beliefs, right? The bias. I'm this, not that. For or against, right? If you're not for me, you're against me. And what's interesting is I think we're in a time of freedom. I keep talking about the fourth dimension, 1111, the fourth dimension. I think we're in a time of freedom, giving ourselves the freedom to experience our own truth, to discover our own truth, and then extending it to others. However, there's still this repeating of controlling the conversation, controlling the calendar, the holidays, right? All of that. Because this is what we always do. Or this is what the belief is. This is what the faith is. And so it's this time of year, I think, that people either love or hate, right? Like maybe I just even talk about Christmas and you're like, well, maybe you don't celebrate Christmas and that's fine. I've often thought about that. Like what happens when there's Christmas everywhere, Christmas trees everywhere, and you're not even to Christmas. And it's interesting because it feels like people are putting lights on their house like year round now, right? Like all these lights and they're just seasonal lights, but they're up all the time now. I mean, there are those token people that, right, they put up the Christmas lights and never take them down. They're there all year and they're just hanging, blowing in the breeze. Some houses, I think they're only up because they've got the lights, right, holding them up that have been there for a decade. But I've noticed that, you know, lights seem to be year-round now and there's just so many different light schemes that people will use. And I also know people that embrace Christmas that celebrate other holidays, right? They're like, Santa, I want in on Santa. Elf, I want the elves. I want gifts, right? Just that spirit of Christmas. And, you know, being a Santa to someone else, right? Spreading that cheer all year. And so there's definitely some complicated feelings around the holidays. And for me, the holidays is really like the Halloween, Thanksgiving, my birthday's in there, Christmas, New Year's, right? And people are celebrating all sorts of different things. And for me, I just kind of roll with it. It's just fun. But I remember when I dreaded this time of year, I loved it and then I dreaded it and now I love it again. But I give myself the freedom and I've created it to be what I want it to be. And that required me opting out. And so I was reminded in the last podcast, and hey, if you're here in this podcast to hear about the story of the bracelet, I'm going to get to that in the next episode. I was really feeling talking about this divide, this bias, this judgment, this lower vibration, because I know a lot of people feel this around the holidays. It can be really wanted and unwanted for people, right? The people that could live in Whoville and they're wearing jingle bells all the time, right? And singing Christmas music. I mean, come on, Blue Christmas Elvis. No. Wham, Last Christmas. Oh, Cry Me a River. Those are the two worst Christmas songs. But maybe you're like, I love those. How are you dissing on Elvis? Blue Christmas, it's the best. No, they're terrible. They're terrible, right? But here's the thing. Again, you're singing your Blue, Blue Christmas, and you're whamming it up with Last Christmas, right? Crying a river over here. Christmas song. I love a good Feliz Navidad. I love that song. That's a good song, Feliz Navidad. It gets me in the spirit every single time. there's bias, right? Because there's things we like and we don't like. And for Christmas, like, think of the people that are just jingle bells nonstop. And you're like, give it a rest already. And you're grinching it up. Like, you've had enough already. Enough. Silence. Climb into your mountaintop. Fine. Opt out. I did that. Yep. That's what we started doing. We started climbing to the mountaintop. We were literally Grinches. We did this for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, multiple years. And what we did was we would pick a different remote spot. And if it didn't have a Wi-Fi connection, even better. Even better. We would find remote cabins, remote spots, you know, top of the mountain. We did that a few times for Thanksgiving and Christmas. We went away from the crowds. We went away from everybody and we opted out and we started creating new traditions. And so we were like the Grinch, went to the top of our mountains, but we did celebrate, right? But we got out of the chaos for us. We got out of the drama with family and all the nonsense. And so you got to do what you got to do, you know, it's okay to put yourself in the center and balance, right? Centered in self. That is okay. Last episode, I was talking about Angela Ford and I said in the podcast that I didn't know how I felt about Sean Ryan and Danny Jones because I was talking specifically about one Sean Ryan podcast. And then I was mentioning that I had been listening to several Danny Jones podcasts. And here's the thing. I just can't listen to Sean Ryan's podcast. I definitely jumped into the Angela Jones because I wanted to hear. And the first 5-10 minutes was incredible. And that's what I was sharing in the last podcast. The way that she was describing, and Angela Ford is remote viewer for the United States Army 0079. And so her experience is vast, far and wide for many decades when it comes to psychic abilities. And she works for the Monroe Institute. And so she was describing, and she was a remote viewer for the United States Army. And I believe she worked for the FBI as well. So in the Sean Ryan podcast, the first 10 minutes was like, wow, the way she described everything, different words than what I would use. Again, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. She used different words. The way that she was pronouncing things, describing things, it was so similar, but a little bit different. And that's okay because she's different. And I appreciate it. And I was just like, wow, yes, yes, yes. This is so yes. But if you continue to listen to the podcast about an hour, hour and a half into it, it gets really heavy. Like you can cut the tension with a knife. It's like, whoa, what is happening here? It's the judgment. It's the judgment. And so I thought this was a perfect example to talk about with the holidays. And when you're dealing with, right, met with, faced with, even just in the heat of the moment, with what is opposite of you, it feels so. Our hearts are powerful magnets, positive, negative, right? But we're all different. Again, misery loves company, unfortunately. The negative, right? Right? But you can also allow your negative to be that repelling aspect of the magnet. So when you feel something negative, you go, oh, that's the opposite of my positive. That is the opposite of what I want. That is my negative, right? But here's the thing, we can allow other people to have a negative, experience a negative, right? Like the cup half empty. If somebody's having a cup half empty or a negative moment for themselves, they're having that for themselves. You don't have to take that on. Can you be compassionate in that moment for somebody? Well, of course. Absolutely. But you don't have to take it on as yours. Also, if somebody is having negative beliefs or feelings, right, compared to you, like that's negative for you, that can be okay too, right? Because they can have the freedom to experience whatever. You don't have to change their mind. You don't have to morph them into your positive, right? They can be where they are. They can believe what they want to believe. No matter how you judge that. And so if you know what your positive and your negative, right, and you're focused, centered, anchored, balanced in your truth, then you're confident. You're confident. And you've given yourself the freedom to be you, to know who you are, to have your experience. But then you extend that to others. And so from there, everybody gets to be who they are. And it's a matter of joy and happiness, and you're just playing about it, right? Or it's the misery love company, right? Womp, womp, sitting around complaining, gossiping, judging, blah, blah, blah. He said, she said, drama, right? Absolutely. Are there people that are into the drama and the he said, she said? And well, yeah, look at soap operas. Right? Like I would say novellas, but I can't speak Spanish either. So, I mean, restaurant Spanish. I can ask for some food, some drinks. I can ask where the bathroom is in Spanish, but that's about it. I mess up the masculine feminine of it. You know, in English, we don't, you know, the masculine feminine. French was like that too for me. When it comes to communication, right, we were talking about telepathy being this highest form of communication. And that's what's so incredible is when you're using your intuition, psychic abilities, right, the ESP, the extrasensory perceptions, you can move beyond the words, the dumbing down of words. You can move and you can feel more. You can see the body language, see what's happening, right? Yeah. And so there was a conversation I had recently with somebody that was in my house and great guy. We've known each other for a long time. We've had a really lot of great conversations over the years. And the conversation was amazing. It was unfolding and going where it was going to go. And then boom, politics. Wah, wah. And really what we agreed on is that both sides, right? Wings of the same bird. However, there were clear bias that he would have to one side, right? And then there would be different biases that I would have to this other side, but we weren't on either side. Right? Like we were right there in the middle. And what we were saying was actually the same. But it was coming from two different perspectives, right? He's a guy. He's younger than me. He lives in the city. I'm a woman. I'm a little bit older, been around a little bit longer, and I live out more towards the country, out of the city, out of the busyness. So we have two different experiences in life. We're two different people experiencing two different things. So like my days are very different from his days. And so what was interesting in the conversation is he started saying, well, what do you mean by that? Maybe we should define this word. And I go, oh, okay, it means this to me. And he goes, oh, it's not that to me. It means this to me. And I was like, oh, see, we are saying the same thing. 100% saying the same thing. And so it was just, again, a matter of defining that word, defining, right? Are we on the same page? Does it have the same meaning? So in the last podcast, I brought up spiritual and spirituality. And I felt like, for the sake of laying a foundation, to be on the same page, to have a conversation, right? So there's understanding. And of course, these podcasts, opinion-based. This is my opinion. I'm never giving health or financial advice. It's just an opinion-based podcast. We're having a conversation, sending and receiving. And so, I mean, isn't it funny I have to say that? Right? Like, isn't that known? But, you know, maybe for some people, they don't know. They don't know. And so being understood is really powerful. When you're on the same page, really powerful. I've been married for 25 years, and I think that's huge, being on the same page, being understood. Because when there's understanding, right, there's a clear communication. There's understanding. Everybody knows. There's clarity. Knowledge, wisdom. Okay. We understand. We're on the same page. Now we can move forward, right? Now we move in the same direction and not against each other or in opposite directions. And so that's really powerful, especially in relationships, especially in communication, because if you're not even, if you don't even have the same understanding, it challenges the communication. Right? And then it's chaos and confusion or overwhelmed and misunderstanding and miscommunication and, right, a disconnect. And so I know from my personal experience, you don't have to speak the same language. You don't have to have the same belief system to communicate. Again, I believe that telepathy and the highest form of communication is between all life, nature, animals, insects, humans, all of us. There is a communication, absolutely. Now, what that communication looks like, it's going to be different and varied. I mean, here's the deal. Most people, when you say telepathy, psychic, people assume they're reading my mind and they know the outcome of things. Those are the two assumptions. And that's where things go wrong with people that are closed-minded around this topic that we've been talking about in the podcast. But, you know, sitting around the holiday table, getting together with people for the holidays, the family, right, that you only see that time of year, right? It's the only time you see them. And, I mean, there's, again, 365 days, but they want that one day, those 2 days, whatever it is, right? Or maybe you have to go visit all the different places. Yeah, there's different bias. There's different, right, different lifestyles, different belief systems. And so with the conversations that I have with telepathy and psychic abilities, extrasensory perception, most people are closed off to that. And most people have immediate judgment of it's reading minds and there's fear, right? And it's negative and it's bad, which really it's just unknown. They don't understand it. Or that it's about knowing the outcome of everything. And that's not it. Is there precognition? Yes. But predicting things and knowing the outcome, see, that's a different conversation. But do you see there's assumptions that people make? Oh, you're psychic. Oh, telepathy. What are the winning lottery numbers? How come you're not a millionaire, right? You should know what the outcome of every single thing that's going to happen before it happens. That's one of many psychic abilities. So again, it's that not understanding something. And a lot of people have fear around that. So I remember when I was younger and I had come home from meeting up at the high school, there was this telescope fair or club or something going on at the high school. And I was not in high school. I was actually in elementary school, but the high school had hosted it. So it was really a cool thing. And the high school just happened to be across the street from where we lived at the time. And so I was in elementary school. So, you know, here I got to go to the high school and it was outside in the campus, right? But outside. And they had all these huge telescopes set up and you could view them. And it was amazing. And there were people there to help you navigate to see different things in the sky. And so I lived at the time where there was a dark sky outside of the city. And it was amazing. I mean, the things that I could see just with my naked eye was amazing. I loved it. I loved it. And so I was always gazing at the stars. And I remember just having in my bedroom, I lived on the second floor, or my bedroom was on the second floor. We had a two-story house. And I would just look out and gaze out the window all night long at the stars. So beautiful. And I would get so excited when Orion's Belt would come up and I could see it perfectly. And so I get home and I'm just beaming. Right? Just beaming. I had so much fun. I got to see so many things up close. I mean, it was just amazing for me. I remember that night. And one of my parents really engaged me about the evening, which was amazing. And so I was really excited. And I asked my parent about life beyond our planet, right? Is there life beyond our planet? Like, what do you think? What's your opinion? What do you think? Not to be told, but to just have a conversation on what they thought, because I knew what I thought. And this parent looked me straight in the face and said, it's all demonic. It's all from Satan. It's all the devil. It's all evil and demonic. And I'm like, you mean all the stars that I'm looking at? Like everything I'm so excited about, like all the planets, everything, it's all demonic. It's all, yes. Now, maybe my memory, right, is one of an elementary school kid. Maybe there was more to that conversation, but that's what I soaked up from that conversation. And here's the thing. It did not change my belief. It did not change my truth at all. What happened was it changed how I viewed that parent, because in that moment, I realized how close-minded this parent was. Unfortunately, my other parent became, you know, also close-minded, and I discovered that later, but it didn't change me and my truth. It didn't change my love, but I certainly stopped having conversations about that. Absolutely. Because I know where that's going to go, right? And so for me, it never challenged my truth, what other people would think and say, but it would destroy the relationship that I had with them, because there was no understanding and there was no openness to believe what I believe and to have a conversation. And to call something so blatantly demonic and evil, I mean, that is hardcore. That's big time. Like, that is wow. And for me, even more so, when I was born, we were Catholic. So I went through, you know, the whole Catholic infant baptism. And then at some point, my parents left the Catholic Church. They ended up getting a divorce. And so both got remarried. And no one's Catholic now. No one's Catholic now. But my dad's side of the family, super Catholic. And so when I was little, 2 years old, there are stories of me praying for people and praying on my own in my bedroom. And honestly, even though there was Catholic and religion and Christianity, you know, there was no practicing of that. We didn't go often to church. We didn't do those things. We didn't talk about it. There was no reading of the Bible, any of that kind of stuff. But I had this innate connection with heaven, with Jesus. And I would pray directly to Jesus when I was 2 years old, 24 months old. I mean, the stories of me praying for people when they would get hurt and kids that would get hurt in the neighborhood, I just innately would do it. And I would do a lot of laying hands on people, like I would touch them. And I do have healing hands, absolutely. And so for me, I had a connection, and I have never, ever remembered not going to sleep, having this prayer meditation moment of connecting with heaven and life force creation energy and the stars and everything that's good and amazing, right? And for me, Jesus was absolutely a part of that. And so I just have always been connected, always a dreamer, always. And so when adults or other people would come against or be close-minded to what my truth was, it didn't make me question my truth. I just knew they didn't get it. They didn't know. And so it changed the way I viewed them. And I just would protect myself as a child from people that were close-minded or had their own belief system that somehow made my truth and my purity and my heaven and my angels demonic and evil. And what's interesting to me is that some of these people, when I was growing up, like family members, they would tell me stories, demonic, evil stories that they had experienced. And I never have ever experienced that ever. This iced coffee is so delicious. Oh my goodness. We just got a new French press. This isn't an ad. This isn't an ad. I think I was talking about being a coffee snob recently. I do have some coffee sponsors. I can share those at the end with you if you want. I'm doing the 12 coupons of Christmas, digital coupons with code Good Vibes. But we got a new French press the other day. Oh my goodness. And a new tea kettle. Oh, it is so, the way that this French press, it does a much better job. It is so delicious. Anyways, I have been drinking way too much coffee. But, you know, it's that season change. It's holidays, right? Everybody's like pumpkin spice, everything nice. I go into coffee mode. you know, I drink my coffee black, right? Stirred, not shaken. Anyways, I have been putting down the coffee. Oh my goodness. And this iced coffee is right on time. So where was I? Where was I? Remind me where I was. Remind me where I was. Okay, so back to the Sean Ryan podcast with Angela Ford. If you were to, and you don't have to go watch the podcast if you don't want, it's, I'm going to talk about two podcasts, and they were both, you can watch both on YouTube. Now, I really like to just listen to podcasts, but oh my goodness, I was so glad there was a video for this Angela Ford and Sean Ryan. And I think it's from like a year ago, the podcast. And so it reminded me of why I really cannot watch or listen to the Sean Ryan podcast anymore because of his strong bias of his religion. He says it's his faith. He's a new Christian, and I really enjoyed his podcast years ago, like when he first got started, and they shifted really hardcore. And his audience now is a very right-leaning, very religious, I think very much has this cult culture mentality. Now, he is military, but you add the military perspective with this being a new Christian, you know, there's just a lot of bias, a lot of, he has a perspective and you can tell, and his energy shifts too. You can immediately tell when he goes into judgmental and close off mode, and even the way his questioning shifts. But when you drop down to the YouTube comments, oh my goodness, his viewers, his fans love it. They love when he calls people out as a Christian and makes them uncomfortable. And then they all in the chat talk about how they need to be saved, and they're all praying for that person. And it's just so heavy and so negative. And with this Angela Ford, you know, I'm loving the first 5 or 10 minutes of the podcast. And as you go, you know, you get into an hour and a half, and all of a sudden it just, the brakes are put on the positivity and it just shifts. And it's interesting because he asked her about negative. Do you ever read anything negative? And I'm thinking, when this was all going down, like an hour and a half into the podcast, I'm thinking, wow, she's reading your negativity right now. The video part of it is powerful. You can see how it almost looks like she wants to have an out-of-body experience. You know, she had said that she was Catholic too when she was born, and she had to let go of a lot of those beliefs to open to what she knows now. Now, her story's a little bit different than mine. So she had already told everybody in the podcast that she grew up with her mom, who was always seeking different things from the occult. I mean, they had the occult encyclopedia. So her home was very open-minded, even though she was born Catholic. Her mom very much was a seeker of all things, you know, that were outside of the box, right? And so her mom would seek, and it was just in the house. And so she told the story how, you know, she had to let go of the Catholic, the religion, and all of this. And so he had all this information, right? So did the listeners of the podcast. And so as she's moving forward, he starts asking her about her beliefs. Like, what do you believe? Instead of asking her about her experiences, right, as being a remote viewer. I mean, they did talk about some of that. But really what happened was he started picking up on her not wanting to answer about her belief system. I could tell. She was closed off to it. She didn't want to go there. I think she was reading the judgment. She told a story how when she first got there and was waiting for him to do the podcast, that somebody that worked for him had asked for a reading from her. And she said, sure, let's just do it right now. When's your birthday? And so she just immediately started reading, and she knew stuff. Like, she knew stuff. And so I think that that kind of surprised the people there, because clearly, you know, that podcast has a Christian bias and a Christian mindset. And so when Sean Ryan got there and they started the podcast, you know, they did have that happen where she did know this stuff. And so instead of taking the podcast in the direction of, wow, how did you know that? And wow, you know, your experiences and your perspective, he then asked her about her belief system, and she shifted. She didn't want to talk about it, and he kept pushing. And then he asked her if she had remote viewed the crucifixion of Jesus. An hour and a half into this, after she talked about leaving the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic Church is all about the crucifixion of Jesus. That's why the crucifix is everywhere. Like, they just stay in that moment forever, the crucifixion. And I resonated with Angela Ford because of her discovering the truth about her Catholic religion and about religion in general and knowing Jesus. And so she spoke of how Jesus was a real man that walked on planet Earth. And I say the same thing. You know, she's read the Bible. I've read the Bible many times all the way through. I love going back to the Aramaic and the Hebrew. Like, what about the 40 books of the Bible that aren't even there because King Constantine took it out? So there's a lot of conversations that I would love to have with Christians, right? I mean, I was a Christian and I attempted to have these conversations with other Christians and they don't want to go there. They don't want to talk about it. And so I decided to go to Jesus in meditation for 5 years, and I learned straight from Jesus. I heard, you know, it's interesting because Christians say, I'm going to pray for you to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, most of the people I know that have a relationship with Jesus, they leave religion. They walk out of it, just like Angela Ford. And, you know, Jesus taught me how to meditate. Jesus reminded me of intuition and psychic abilities and that I can read and how psychic I am. And that he's very much a part of that. And so, like Angela, I discovered my truth beyond the religion, beyond the judgment and the condemnation. And really, Jesus is love. And so I'm at a point now where I'm really intolerant. If you're going to talk about Jesus, then it better be about love, because Jesus was all about love. Let's start there. Let's start there. And really what happens is it's kind of like with politics, the left and the right, right? If you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not for me, you're against me. It's that, right? The separation. It's like, where's the love? What happened to the love? What happened to the pumpkin pie? What happened to the sweetness of life? I don't know. Maybe you're into pecan pie, or maybe you're just all cherry pie, or like no pie. Yeah, you'll take a whiskey. Cheers. Cheers. That podcast reminded me of the bias, of how the conversation can sour, how the mood can sour, how the energy can be drained and sucked. You can witness in that podcast, an hour and a half into it, it completely shifts and turns. You can cut the tension with a knife. And I feel like she's either trying to have a out-of-body experience, or maybe she was feeling some fight or flight. But she ended up really being elusive and really, to me, was evading the questions. And I feel like she was reading his judgment and his negativity. And you can see how he began to really close off. And she then, instead of answering his questions, would ask questions. She would say, well, I don't know. Don't they say it's this? Or I don't know. Don't they say, like when he asked about Atlantis or whatever. And really, she knew he was baiting her. I thought he was baiting her. And at one point, she asked a question. He was like, well, do you believe this or that? And she was like, well, I don't know. Don't they say this or don't they say that? That's the way she was phrasing. It was great. It was brilliant how she was answering. But it was uncomfortable and it was awkward because she wasn't giving him what he wanted. And she wasn't allowing herself to be baited, but you could tell she didn't want any part of it. She didn't want to go there because she knows there's judgment. And so I think at that moment, you know, she started really picking her words wisely. And at one point he goes, well, you know, I'm Christian, so, and that was it. Well, I'm Christian, so. He was not willing to have an open. I mean, here he was asking her question after question, what she believes. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Do you believe? And then he went as far to bring up Randall Carlson, who talks about ancient civilizations, you know, back 10,000 plus years, which I love to talk about that. And she goes, oh, that sounds pretty good to me. What do you think about that? Was trying to have a conversation with him by asking him questions back. And he immediately shut down. He was unwilling to have a communication with her. It was more of an interrogation. And she closed down. You could tell. She even turned red. Her eyes changed. And when you go down to the YouTube comments, the perspective from his listeners, his viewers, were she knew in that moment she needed to be saved. Like, she didn't want to go there. She didn't want to. And it's like, yeah, she didn't want to go there because she wasn't going to tell you what you wanted to hear. And she didn't want to go there. Like, for him to not pick up as an interviewer that she didn't want to go there, that she's not a Christian like you, but you keep pushing your Christian agenda. This happens to me all the time in my live streams. The amount of people that come in and assume, I don't know Jesus, that I need saving. And it is so off-putting. Because it's this drawing a line in the sand. It's saying, if you're not with me, you're against me. And really, if you know what the Christian belief system is, it is one of, if you're not saved and you haven't accepted Jesus as your savior, you're going to hell. That is a fiery pit of hell. So for them, they have a perspective of they have to save the rest of us from a fiery pit of hell, from the judgment of God. For me, I know all the judgment is self-judgment. You know, all these people, they judge themselves. You know, Sean Ryan couldn't have an open-minded podcast and a conversation with Angela Ford because of his bias and his belief system, to where he had to make it even uncomfortable for her. And the fact that she wasn't going to respond or play the game, it got very awkward and uncomfortable. And I think that when I watched that, I was like, wow, this is Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, this is it. This is how it makes people feel. But here's the good news. Area 52, Chris Ramsey, he does a new interview with her, and it is awesome. I would love for you to see the difference. Chris Ramsey was so excited to have her on. The YouTube channel is Area 52. And he was so excited to have her on, and she was excited to be there. And you could tell her body language is so different. Both of them are so open. It is a magical conversation because it was one of discovery. Like, tell me more. I want to know about this. And they talk about the Sean Ryan interview. So it's a good one to watch. It showed me the difference between something that was high vibe, positive, interactive, an amazing conversation, because two people were open-minded and were willing to express themselves, but listen to one another. And it was really this fascinating discovery. And he wanted to know more. It was beautiful. What a difference. Like, the contrast was unbelievable. So then when you go on YouTube to Angela Ford on Area 52 with Chris Ramsey, you go into the chat or the messages, the comments, completely the polar opposite of Sean Ryan. And there were actually several comments referencing the Sean Ryan and supporting Angela Ford and how it was so great that somebody else gave her interview to where we could better understand who she is and her not be so judged. You could feel it. And this reminded me, it was like this mirror being held up for holidays with people. And here's the thing. Some people love their families. They have amazing holidays. They have amazing gatherings. It's great. Some people, that's not at all what's happening. Some of us have opted out, right, and created new. Absolutely. There was somebody that last year, last Christmas and the holidays, right, the whole holiday season, for them, they were talking about Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. That was the hard time for them, that they had opted out and walked away from everybody pretty much in their life because they just felt like it was all so negative and were creating a new life. But here it was Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, and they were alone. And they weren't expecting it to hit them so hard. Like, oh man, I'm alone. So they treated themselves to a solo vacation. So between Christmas and New Year's, they went on a solo vacation and had the time of their life. Met so many people, got to experience so many things. And what they realized was it was the first time they got to go and do the things that they wanted to go and do and spend their money on the things that they wanted and the things that they wanted to do. And it made them realize by having this one season away from everybody solo that they had been doing everything everybody else wanted to do. They didn't get to do the things that they wanted to do. That's why it was so draining. And, you know, here's a thought. This is what happened to me actually as well. Of you don't see these people, you know, family or whomever that want to consume you for the holidays. You don't see them 365 days out of the year. Like, where are they, right? But then it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, whatever holiday it is, and you are demanded to be there and you have to be there. And it's draining, right? And it's your day off. And then for some people, it's gifting, right? You got to bring the food, you got to bring the drinks, you got to bring the gifts, and now you're spending all this money, right? I mean, think about the people that are spending, you know, flights, train tickets, airlines, renting cars, right? To do all this, hotel rooms, whatever. Yeah. And you're being consumed, right, for these holidays because that's what this other person or other people want. It's almost as though they have written the script, right, for the perfect holiday play and written you into the script as a character, but you don't even know. And you have to be there and play along, right? Because it's their holiday. There's also this, like, it's my last holiday. It's my last. So it's like comes down to the guilt, shame, blame. And it's heavy and it's negative or it's drama, right? I remember when I was younger, Thanksgiving, my mom's side of the family and my aunt, you know, we're all outside playing like flag football or something as kids. And one of my aunts comes storming out of the house and she starts beating on the stop sign at the end of the street. I'm like, we're like, what is she doing? What is, and she's just like screaming and cussing and like punching the stop sign. Like, it was crazy. And then here come all the other adults, right? Oh my goodness. I mean, that kind of was, you know, my memories growing up. It was like one family outburst after another. You know, you just wanted that peaceful, relaxing. Nope. You knew somebody was going to go off. Something was going to happen. I mean, we had the whole family feud. One side of the family, you know, Christmas is baby Jesus's birthday. The other side of the family, they're also Christian, but it's not Jesus's birthday. Santa comes. You know, a family Christmas holiday. Christmas is not Jesus's birthday because Jesus was not born on December 25th. Well, hello, enlightenment, public service announcement. Jesus was not born on December 25th. That's true. A lot of people talk about it was probably like a June or July birthday somewhere. You know, like when is baby Jesus's real birthday, right? So when there's these feuds, right, there's bias, it can ruin the holiday. It ruins the vibration. Like you can feel the tension. You can cut it with a knife. It's just like in that Sean Ryan podcast with Angela Jones compared to Chris Ramsey with Area 52. It was a completely different experience. Like the Sean Ryan, it reminded me of why I don't watch his podcast anymore. It's like, oh my goodness, like, is so biased. You know, it's really funny because Sean Ryan had, oh, what is his name? He's from the behavioral panel. He does the behavioral stuff. Chase Hughes. He had him on and it was all about psyops. You know, what is a psyops? And Chase Hughes has this way to basically an equation to determine whether something is psyops or not, like a controlled narrative, right? And it's interesting because I used to watch the behavioral panel channel on YouTube and Chase Hughes is on it. And a few years back, I said to my husband, I think there's psyops. He was like, really? I go, oh yeah. Like, let me. And so I started flipping through all their topics And they're really good friends with Dr. Phil. And there's an Oprah connection. Anyways, I'm not going to get into like any conspiracy theories here, but I do have a podcast on conspiracy theories. So if you want to binge some podcasts, I got 4 seasons of podcast. Oh yeah. In the next episode, we are going to talk about the bracelet, and there is an episode about the bracelet. Just search the bracelet wherever you're listening to this podcast. It's in season 2. It's amazing. And we are going to get to that. It's such a cool story. And so the behavioral panel, I said, I think they're psyops. I could pick apart every single topic that they would bring up that was big in the news. And before we even turned it on, I would say, here's how they're going to spin this. It's for this bias. And sure enough, that was exactly what they were doing. And so I really realized, and you know, most of, I think 3 of the 4 or 2 of the 4 of them in the behavioral panel YouTube channel that Chase Hughes is on, are military. They come from the military. So, you know, it is true. It is true. If you're a whistleblower, if you are allowed to speak on something, and the military, right, has allowed you to speak on somebody, something, it is scripted, right? Like if you have security clearance, but you get to speak about it publicly, or you have, right, you were under some top secret, whatever, but now you can speak about it. It is scripted. It is absolutely scripted, because there's some things you can say and some things you can't say. And they position that in a way that creates a narrative, a story. So you have to read between the lines. You have to go deeper. You can't just take their word for it. It is scripted, because they say you can say this, but you can't say that. Yeah. So I say pull on the threads of truth for you and then weave it all together, because, you know, people are bringing some of the truth forward, not all of it. Then they're spinning it, right? Oh, the webs we weave. So Chase Hughes on Sean Ryan talking about psyops. And I had already thought, oh, Chase Hughes, the behavioral panel, they're already part of the psyops for sure on certain topics, big topics. And I quit listening to the Sean Ryan again, like I said, years ago, because of his extreme bias, because of his religious views. And I get it. I understand. So I just flipped the switch. And that's why I found myself over on Danny Jones. I also really like Area 52 with Chris Ramsey. It's just very different. But the Danny Jones podcast, he has amazing, amazing conversations. And he's willing to go in those directions with people. And I'm really enjoying that. But there was even I don't know if you watched the Y Files on YouTube, but I had thought that the Y Files was psyops a few years ago too. And was like, I can't even watch those anymore. It's psyops. And he just did a whole psyops thing about Chase Hughes being on Sean Ryan, which is crazy. So like all these channels talking about psyops, right? And what it is. And what if they're a part of it? So you got to trust yourself. You got to trust your gut. And I could tell when Angela Ford and all her psychicness, and she's a reader like me, she can read the energy. When she was on that Sean Ryan podcast, like her red flags going up. I mean, I could read her reading him. And it was negative and it was heavy. It was like, whoa. And I thought she did a really good job navigating it. I think she handled it like a pro. And you know, asking questions is the best way to stop that, or just opting out altogether. So, you know, what are you going to do this holiday season, right? Are you going to keep having these unwanted conversations, right? Allow this divide, because there is a divide right now. We can feel it. As people are awakening to what's going on, right, and who they are, it creates a divide between us, because we're not on the same page. We don't have the same truth. And there very much is this cult culture. 100%, there's a cult culture. You got to buy into it. You got to believe it, right? You're going to be shunned. You're going to have to sit at the other table. Yeah, I'm sitting with the kids every time. Where's the kiddie table? That's the fun table. That's where I want to be. And, you know, that's what I did. Before we opted out of Thanksgivings and Christmases, I just started sitting with the kids. I started going outside. I started doing other things. Y'all want to know what really upset people is when I was healing myself. Now, this was long ago, but I started healing myself and it required me to eat different food. And that meant that I didn't eat the food that people were serving for whatever occasion. I just didn't eat the food. And I certainly am not going to walk in somewhere and ask for the ingredients and everything before I eat something, right? Like what I'm going to eat is on me. And so most of the time I would eat before or after. And so I just wouldn't be there to eat. Like, aren't we there for conversation and to see people? Like, what does it matter if I eat? Oh my goodness. I offended everybody when I wouldn't eat. Like, it was the end of the world. It was like in the amount of people that were offended. And here's what it is. Somehow what I was going to eat or not eat said something about them. Like, I was the mirror and they were seeing themselves in the mirror. And because I wasn't eating it, somehow it made the food bad and they shouldn't eat it. Or like the food wasn't good enough for me, or like whatever. And that is part of it, is that I do become the mirror. Those of us that read, that are psychic, a lot of us become the mirror. So I do not allow people to read me. I don't. What happens is I create this field that's a shield around me. It's not a boundary or anything. It's a shield where you're not going to read me. You're not going to tune in and tap into me at all. And if you do, you're just going to get an automated response. And it's of love, but it's of, you know, no, you know, you're not invited, right? And so this actually happened. I was at this like group energy healing. It was specifically like a Reiki healing, which I'm not into. No judgment, but it's just not my thing. And so I'm there and there's these three Reiki masters that are going to do a healing on individuals. And so I'm able to read everybody in the room. I'm able to know who needs a healing, who doesn't need a healing. Like it was so easy. I'm seeing everybody's auras. I'm seeing everybody in color, all of this, right? And so I made a connection. My husband was there with me and we met somebody and I made a connection with her. And I felt a powerful message to send to her after it was over. And so I just went over to her and just said, "Hey, I'm Britt." She's like, "Hey, I'm so-and-so." And I said, "I just felt a really strong sense during your session." And I just gave her the message and she was like, "Oh my goodness, I was waiting for this message." And then she looks and sees I have feather earrings on. She had received a message that somebody was going to come to her with a message with a feather on. And she was like, "It's you." I'm like, "Yes, it's me." Anyways, it was really cool. Well, one of the Reiki people came over and, you know, all of us kind of went through this healing where you got to come up on the massage table, right? And they would do this healing. Well, I remember when I went to the massage table, I created a field around me that was a mirror. So anything that they were trying to read or send would be reflected back to them because I was not feeling like any of them were healers or shamans or anything, anybody I wanted to open my field to. I was just unsure of them. And so I didn't want them in my field, but I didn't mind being a part of the experience with the people that were there because it was beautiful and it was energy and I was fine with that. But I didn't want the Reiki and I didn't want those three individual Reiki masters, whatever. I didn't want them in my field at all. And so I created this orb around me and it became a mirror. So it reflected back to them. So when they got finished, all three of them were like, "Whoa, that was one of the most powerful sessions I've ever experienced." And I'm thinking, yeah, because I was the mirror. I reflected it all. So like whatever they were doing to me, they were doing to themselves, not to me. And so, and I was shielded in the process. And so I do this all the time. And afterwards, when I was talking to this other girl and we were exchanging, you know, this moment, which was so organic and so powerful, we both felt it. One of the Reiki masters came to me and she said, "Hey, I hate to tell you, but I really felt there was something happening with your heart." And I asked her, I said, "Are you giving me health advice?" And she goes, "Well, not health advice, but I was picking up there's something wrong with your heart." And I said, "So you're telling me that there's something wrong with my heart?" And she goes, "Yes, I think." And so she gets out of her wallet to hand me like a card for a doctor or something and said, "I have this doctor, you know, you might want to call," because I was really picking up. And I said, "Well, here's the deal. I am the mirror. It wasn't my heart. That was your heart. I'm the mirror. So I created," and I told her what I did. And she was like, "What?" Like, she had never even heard of this ever before. She was like, "What?" And I go, "So whatever you did during my Reiki session, it was for you. I reflected it all back to you. It was your heart." Well, let me tell you, this happened 20 years ago. I am super duper healthy. Super duper healthy. And I had already gone through a healing at that time. And so I knew she was wrong, right? It was pretty brave of her to say that, but I had the confidence to know. And that's why I shielded myself and cut off from, I knew that they didn't have the knowing. I knew, you know, I knew they shouldn't be in my field. And so, no, I do not open myself energetically. I don't open myself up to all people. I do not do that. And when my intuition says, run, 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 I run. Just like that song, Psycho Killer, run, 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 run. I mean, I do. I listen to my gut instinct. I listen to my intuition. It's the inner navigational system. So I knew, but I also know how we can become the mirror. And that is one of when somebody looks at us, they see themselves. And so that's what happened when I was healing myself. People would see themselves. And I think what would happen was they would see their unhealthy choices. And so when I would just not eat something, that spoke really loud to them, right? But it wasn't me speaking. It was whatever judgment and whatever they were feeling about me not eating, like what that meant to them. Well, why should I have to eat something to make somebody else feel comfortable? Why should I, right? Oh, well, they made it. Oh, but I made this for you. Oh, I made this, right? And so there's that, the guilt, shame, blame of it all. So for me, I remember dreading the holidays. And I also remember a lot of crying on the way home because it just felt so bad. But for me, I would pick up on everybody, like who was sick, who was healthy, like what was happening, and it was just so overwhelming for me. And then I was feeling like I had to like protect myself at the same time. And it was exhausting. And there was no joy and happiness about it for me. It just wasn't fun. And so we made a choice to opt out, to just opt out. And there were years I didn't even decorate for Christmas. again, we would run away into, you know, the woods. We would be the Grinch up on the mountaintop. And that was okay because it's what we needed, right? And now we create new holidays. Like now it's like, well, what do you want to do this year? Well, do you want to decorate? Do you not want to decorate? Like, we have the freedom to do whatever it is that we want. And so this is your message. To give yourself the freedom to create your own holiday, create your own space, right? Maybe there's a happy medium, right? Maybe you can go for 30 minutes. Maybe you can go for an hour. Here's something I think really powerful. If somebody asked you, right, are you coming for Thanksgiving? You coming for Christmas or whatever the holiday is, right? Are you coming? You can say, actually, I'm not going to be there this year. What are you doing? Well, I'm making different plans. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm making plans. I'm making different plans. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm still in the process of making those plans. Right? I'm making plans. I'm in the process of making plans. Yeah. You don't have to give them the details. And it can just be you if you want it to just be you. Maybe you do the special thing for you, yeah? So here's another thing. Maybe it's about just opting out of the chaos, right? The division. Maybe it's opting out of those conversations. Maybe it's creating games and playing, right? Like maybe you're the one that brings the game. We're going to play a game this year, right? I'll tell you, you know what a fun game is you wrap, you wrap a gift, whatever. It can be a gag gift. It can be a gift card, whatever. You wrap it and you wrap it in like, you know, 15, 20 different wrappings, right? So it's layers of wrapping. And then you have two oven mitts. And you set a timer and you pass the package and everybody's got to try to unwrap it with oven mitts, right? And when they get off the first layer, it's like, oh my gosh, there's another layer, another layer, another layer. And you only have like 10 seconds or 15 seconds to try to unwrap it or something. And then you pass it to the next person. So you have somebody running a timer and you pass it around. It's so hilarious. It's so much fun. Everybody will start laughing. Like what happens when you just play a stupid little fun game, right? I mean, like I said, with that story, younger, all the cousins playing football in the yard, having fun, right? Being kids outside. And then there's family drama that rolls out into the street and somebody's pounding on the stop sign. Here we were, innocent kids, just having fun. But then the adults have all this drama, right? Because somebody's got to be right. What happens when you're just kids and you're just playing about it and it's just fun? Yeah? What happens when it's about the pie and the food? Or maybe it doesn't even need to be about the food, right? Doing something fun, doing something different. Some people are going to be stuck in their ways. Some people, they're not going to change their ways. They're going to have their bias. They're going to have their belief system. But that's them separating themselves, right? Some people are going to opt out. Some people don't want to heal. They don't want to open their mind. They're never going to understand, right? The worst one is you're too much. You're too much. Well, guess what? You might be too much for them, but you're not too much for the people that love your vibration and want to celebrate and have a good time with you. Yeah. So maybe it's time to celebrate and have a good time and quit arguing about it. Because that was the contrast in those two podcasts, right? Podcast about the same person and one so negative. Because there's a belief system and you can't believe that. You got to believe this and you can feel it. And then the other one is just pure joy of discovery. And let's talk about it and let's have fun about this. Yeah. So you're going to have to opt in to the things that you want and opt out of the stuff you don't want. So tomato, tomato, potato, potato, right? Maybe you do have to call the whole thing off. Or maybe you just eat your pie and your cake too.